Ken and Capital.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Alexis from Ken and Capital. How you guys doing? It's my brothers, Mike, Christian, and Chris. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Excited? Good.
Yeah, doing all right.
Oh, yeah.
Doing all right.
Awesome. I'm tired. what'd you guys do last week?
I'm excited to hear your story when we come back around, since you started that new position of us. We got you tired, but
I guess I'll start off so we can go in the circle.
So
I got hit up with another business opportunity. It's actually a previous one, but now we're trying to move forward with that. So I think I want to kind of position myself in the secondary position for that opportunity, because I don't want to do the whole work. There's a lot of involvement with that. Still working on the kind of leader position that's still not official at work. Obviously super dedicated to the podcast, been still got a lot to figure out. There's a lot of changes at work, so I'm just banging through it until we can get to a stable position.
Good. My week was, I always say good just because I try to stay positive, but same. It was, I had some ups and downs, some rough patches. Working on some new projects with my business and stuff, staying consistent with that. Had a meeting with some partners yesterday. I'm also applying for a new job as a sales development rep, so I'll keep you guys posted on how that's going. Might take a while to break into the industry, trying to get into the same industry as these two gentlemen here, but
get this money.
Yeah, exactly. So I have some updates in the near future.
Yeah, for me, as far as work, been doing a lot of vendor management. Some things been going on at work that we got to get straight with my team's product or whatnot. So I'm trying to move forward on that. And got a lot of travel coming up for work, conferences and team events and things like that. So just trying to plan for that. But that's typically it. And really just, like I said, just focusing on, you know, pushing the podcast and things like that. My week hasn't been too bad, but just really been focused on managing things at work. So,
it's been a little chaotic this way. I give you the cliff notes. I will take up this whole podcast if you let me, talking about what's been going on in this direction. But the short of it is, I did start a role as a creative director for a company that lives like up the street from me, just to kind of supplement some income. Some things have changed with my clients. And it's kind of comes with the territory of entrepreneurship. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But if you watched our last podcast episode, when we spoke about, you know, managing stuff and all that, I'm definitely getting a, you know, close up view of that and what comes with that. I was actually literally texting them while I'm at the job, like, can I like throw something at this guy? And, like, how do you handle your direct reports? Because this guy's lazy. Like, you know, but, you know, I'm new. I'm a new face. You can't just go in like, so, you know, just navigating that on top of, you know, fatherhood, husband roles, and kicking doors down to make money.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We had a conversation a few days ago. I don't remember who I was speaking to, one of you guys. But we wanted to talk about creative business endeavors in this episode. So that's kind of what we're going to be chit-chatting about.
I do want to say, before you get back to the topic, we went around the room, like, you and Dion, all y'all really pretty much, y'all are adapting to y'all situations. You said, you had to get a creative director position. You're looking to go back to tech sales and, you know, at the same time trying to start your business. You've got multiple business opportunities, but you guys are, like, at least one, willing to accept those opportunities. No, understand that there is a shift in your life that you kind of need to accommodate somehow.
Yeah.
And you guys are doing what you got to do to, you know what I'm saying? To make it, basically.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said there, because a lot of people are so afraid to do that. Like, if something in their life changes, they don't know what the next step needs to be. and like a lot of people just kind of sit there and it's like just what did they just cry in their own sadness, like I don't know what to do, this happened. But as men, we got to understand, like, especially you got families, you got mouths to feed, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah,
facts. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, hey, like in your instance, like, hey, I lost this client here. In order to make up for that difference of what I was getting, I got to do what I got to do. Let me go look for a job. Boom. You know what I'm saying? To take care of the family. So I just want to commend y'all for that.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Right on.
I mean, just quick tip, in case anybody's wondering, like, you just got to take a minute to breathe. Like, that's always the first step. If you're not sure what the first step is, just take a minute, breathe. And then realize what you've been through in your life. Sometimes you realize what you're going through right now. Is it the hardest thing you've done?
Yes.
If it is the hardest thing you've done, just know you'll get through it. And then anything else that comes after that is just another step that you can reflect on and be like, I've been through worse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. A lot. Through it. Yeah, I do that a lot. I do a lot of self-reflection, especially if I feel like I'm struggling or something like that. I'm stressing out or something. I kind of self-reflect. Like you said, take some time to breathe and really just think about what I've been through, what it took for me to get to where I'm at. And I've been through worse, the things I had to do to overcome other obstacles in the past. And you're like, oh, this ain't nothing. I got this.
Yeah, yeah, fact.
And then also just going back to just making sure you include God in everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading a scripture, I think it was Hebrews chapter 13, where he said God will not forsake you.
Yeah.
He's not going to let you, you know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
I had to remind myself that over and over again, like God got me, God got me. So
yeah, and that's a good perspective too. One thing I always say is a lot of Christians in general that I've spoken to, there's a thing where a lot of people say, let go and let God. But I feel like we as Christians sometimes can take it a little too literal, like don't do anything.
Yep.
And that is not a good
idea.
That's
not what that means.
Stuff is going to just get worse. I always say God will not sail a ship that's anchored.
Yeah. Mm.
You have to do something.
You got to do something. You got to perform the effort.
I'm going to wait for God to send a check in the mail, or I'm going to wait till this. Sometimes you have to get active, get to looking, and then he'll bless you because of your activity. Some people don't believe like that. I put it to the test. And back in my younger years and my early 20s, I've tried sitting around. Stuff just got worse. So, but ever since I start realizing I need to take action, I need to do this, I need God actually blesses me.
He blesses your faith and your effort.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
So just wanted to throw that out there.
Nice. Yeah, even with this situation, when I kind of came to that realization that, damn, I lost this client, you know, applying for the job, I wasn't necessarily looking for jobs. It just came on my LinkedIn and I was just like, you know, sure, why not? Click, easy. It did easy apply, you know, why not? You know, sure. Worst thing, you know, I don't hear back from them. And he actually messaged me, like, the boss, like, 2 hours later, like, hey, don't forget to, you know, send this. Because they had, like, one of those things where it's like, they want to make sure you read the whole description. Yeah. It's like, hey, make sure you email us here. And I was just like, what? Who's this guy? Like, I completely forgot about it.
That's crazy.
Like, I had a whole prospect list and stuff. I was getting ready to start kicking the doors down. But I was just like, okay, well, this just kind of presented itself. Yeah. Let's see what it's about. I've never done anything on this level before.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, feeling that way, like, when you're in that position, I just remember like who I am and what I bring to the table, like my values, my skill set. You know, I am valuable. I have something to contribute that can help a business go to different levels, and that's worth something. You know, and I take that with me with everybody I talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe you're a good fit, maybe you're not a good fit, but that kind of goes back to focusing on your input and not the output. Like as long as I'm putting myself out there, you know, what's going to come back is probably what's meant for me.
Yeah.
So this job came. Here I am learning new things.
Yeah. I would imagine that's kind of a confidence booster too for him to be so adamant about reaching out. You barely apply to anything, and there that just shows how much skill you actually carry in that field. That's crazy.
I mean, and it's a callback to what you said in I think our first episode or second episode when you were like, you got to reach out to people.
Mm-hmm.
You said it too. Don't just hit. I mean, you hit the easy apply, but you also reached out too.
Yeah. Right.
But you were like, you got to do more to show people your intention that you are interested.
Yeah.
Because everybody is just like, if everybody feels like they need the job, how do you, you know, differentiate for who actually like earned the job?
Yeah.
So
you got to stand out.
Yeah, you got to stand out.
I mean.
What misconceptions did any of us have about running a creative business before we started?
We were just talking about this before.
That you can be completely creative?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just create. And everything's going to be fine. I know back in our day, you could just be creative and people would like find you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But that's not really a thing. Not anything you can depend on or measure.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say it can't be done, but, you know, it's not, you know, realistic keeping it a buck with you. But
yeah.
I think like when we were younger, though, a lot of things were community based. Mm-hmm. So everything we made, like deviant art. Right?
I remember that.
DA.com.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man, like how many people actually like for real got found on there or something like that? Like a lot of things were, you know, you go over somebody's house, man, this is dope, or you know, just all kinds of things. And it's like, that's the creative thinking. The business thinking is so much different, right? It's not just creating the art. There's a lot of challenges with you're trying to take something creative, make a business out of it.
Yeah.
Like when I did music, that's a creative thing. But when you're trying to make it where people are interested, would pay money to either one, listen to it, come see you, you know, perform it or whatever, it's different. You got to market, right? You got to advertise a certain way because you need people to actually know that you do it first. Yeah. So that's the hard, I think that's probably the biggest challenge.
That
for
is
me.
The biggest thing that creatives struggle with is the business side of it.
Yeah, like how do people find you?
Yeah, how to actually do the business side of it to market and stuff like that. I do hear that a lot. Like you said, you can't just go out there and just be creative. But with that too, one thing I hear a lot of people, including myself, who were just talking about this, what do you do to be creative? What do you do to create content? And I always, at least recently, I've kind of discovered, do what you're already doing, what you already have mastery in, and just share it with the world. Mm-hmm. I for whatever reason, my head was not like, I would hear the content creation stuff. I was like, hey, I want to get into content creation. What kind of content can I make? First of all, this is content.
Yeah.
This is a form of content. I write books. I make comic books. I never for whatever reason connected the two. What kind of content can I make? And I got 17,000 readers on my comic book. I've got this going. I got that. Well, how do I get into content creation? You're already in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, or even like, say, for instance, take your career. Like I'm in the carpet cleaning industry. Like some people just put up a camera, record them cleaning, doing their thing. If you're in IT, start talking about that a little bit. I told you I followed this guy named Cyrus Harbin. He talks about his job as a solutions engineer. He gets on other people that are in the field, similar to what we're doing, have a setup like this, and they just talk about their jobs, talk about their careers, talk about what they're learning, talk about their day, talk about, you know, just that's content creation. You'll have people chime in. I feel like maybe some people need to hear that and maybe I'm just slow. But I just detach and don't connect the two. Like, what am I good at? Make that your content. You know.
You know what's interesting? I was thinking about this on the way here. I think people don't know business, so that's where the disconnect comes from. Because I was like, man, if everybody took like a business class or a course, unfortunately, you know, I'm trying to think about this. Are all the business degrees master level, or there are some bachelor ones?
It's bachelor.
I feel like are there associate ones?
I would think so. I think.
I mean, just give like me 1 year.
Like 2 year.
Just give me 1 year or something, right?
Yeah.
I think everybody should be exposed to that because when they're trying, I think they're struggling trying to understand the business side because there's been no preliminary like information presented to them to get them to that point. Because they have the creative side. They just don't know how to turn it into something. So like when you're talking about like, it's not because you're dumb or anything like that. It's just because there's been nothing prior to that to help you with the business side to connect it to. And that just happens with a lot of people. Some people, I feel like they research more and that's how they get into it. But some people just try things. But they don't just try it in a closet. They go out to like a convention. They go, like they just throw themselves out there and then the business starts to turn into something for them. But even then they have headaches, right? Because they don't know what challenges that'll come up. Like if you get a random lawsuit, you're like, what? It's because you didn't know, like, oh, I can't do this or do that, right? So I think that's just where that comes from.
I think it's important too, like you said, kind of you got to connect those dots. Like I grew up in the dance community here in Indy, and everybody wanted to go to LA, and
yeah, I remember
the way they make LA sound was just like, hey, if you can just get to LA, everything else will just figure itself out.
Show up and people just go.
I swear. And it's literally where the plan always stopped. But everybody I ever talked to, I'd be like, hey, so like, what are you doing with Dance? We've been making this piece. It's like, man, you know, I'm gonna move to LA and, you know, shit, figure it out. And it's like, oh, okay. you can't really live off that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not, you know, not
the broke artist lifestyle, right?
Like, God, but there was like so many people. I'm like, it's like if you had to flow chart this, like it literally says LA and everything else is just like a question mark. It's like you can't really build on that.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of that creative and that business like mindset.
Yeah.
You know, and I think hearing that a lot kind of got me thinking differently, at least with my own creative ventures. Like if I can't figure out a way to make money from it, it's not sustainable. I'm just having fun.
Right.
Nothing wrong with having fun. Nothing wrong with growing in your craft. But if your goal is to live off your craft, gotta connect the dots.
Right.
Period. There's no getting away from it. Yeah. Just can't. Yeah. If you're a dancer, who is your client? Who's gonna pay for it? Yeah. What are you packaging to sell them? How long is it gonna take to do that? Right. Are you worth what you're asking for? Yeah. Like, you gotta be real with yourself.
Yeah, some that concept, but you use the example of when you ask people what their aspirations are, I want to go to LA for dance, because they think LA is where you can make it.
But
I feel like that carries over into other industries as well. There's there's certain industries are more prevalent in different areas of the country than like here in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're in the day and age to where, talking about content creation, being creative, you don't have to move somewhere to make it now.
Yep.
Especially after COVID. Remote work is like at an all-time high right now.
Yep. Yeah.
You don't have to move to a New York or an Atlanta or a DC or Seattle to reach your aspirations anymore. Especially if you want to be creative and start your own business. Like you just said, slap up a camera and start talking. You know what I'm saying? Or if, let's just say you're in, and I'm going to use this example, like the retail industry or like something like that, where you want to be a buyer, financial buyer for a company. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not big here in Indiana, maybe, but it's really big in Seattle or something like that. And you're like, well, I can't make it here in Indiana. I have to apply for jobs in Seattle and probably move. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. It's a such thing as being working remote now.
Absolutely.
You don't have to move. You don't have to necessarily, and not even that, you know, if you're thinking like, hey, that industry isn't prevalent here in Indiana, start something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, okay. If you see there is a gap that needs to be filled, fill it.
Fill it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I just think we saw a lot of, especially in the older generation, my generation.
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to say.
That's how we think.
It's different per generation.
We just think like that. It's just like, man, I got to move here because I can't, you know, let's just say I went to school for computer science, right? And to be honest with you, Indiana recently just really got big in the tech industry several years ago. Yeah. But growing up, going through college, Silicon Valley?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Palo. Well, Palo's huge now. But I think, Silicon Valley had like a huge hub of like tech there.
Yeah, it was like where Google and all that stuff is. Where is that? It's like over there in Cali somewhere. Over
is that
not
Palo? Is that not Palo, California?
It might be Palo. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's where Palo Alto is.
Yeah.
And
so
a couple other ones.
So like Palo Alto, Google, YouTube, they're like in the same area in Cali, right? So it's like going to Indiana, I went to Indiana State, going to college, my mindset was like, okay, I'm going into the tech industry. I got to move out there. I got to go to the West Coast because that's where the job market is, right?
Right.
But now that mindset has changed, especially in the remote mindset.
Certainly.
You can apply from Indiana, you can apply from Florida, you can apply from Iowa, you can apply from Utah and still get those jobs working remote.
Yeah.
But that's just an example. But I just think now that we're in this content creation world that you can make the best of your opportunity where you're at.
Certainly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just kind of wanted to share that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think about that a lot too, because you look at industries like real estate or even like people that do taxes and stuff like that. You no longer have to just service your area. You can get online and service people nationwide. People are buying homes, not just in their city anymore. They're buying homes nationwide. I clean a lot of places like that too. And I got to call somebody and they're in another state. And I'm like, and they've never seen the house. Like sometimes sight unseen. I have to call them and tell them like, somebody broke in and had a party. And it's going to cost this much because I got to do, there's like paint and beer and like stuff. But it's just, that's kind of off topic. But
I'm like, bro, what party? What happened?
Yeah, like stuff like that happens all the time. But people like they're buying homes from in a different state just because of doing business online and stuff like that. Or even like I said, people that do taxes or let's say, for instance, you do events. And people used to go to hotels to run events and stuff like that. Now people do webinars. Mm-hmm. Like, just business has changed altogether when it comes to content creation and stuff like that. We talk about art.
Yeah.
You know how that used to be back in the day. Like, you wanted to work for Cartoon Network, Toonami, or do something. Like, you had to send your art into somewhere to get noticed. Like, now you don't have to do that at all.
I think it's just, so if we're talking about, like, the different eras, people have to understand our generation, our parents' generation, everything was so manual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think about how you had to apply for a job, you had to, like, write out an application. Mm. Go personally hand it in to that store.
Forgot about
that. And if you got the interview, you got to show up in at least a slack, a dress shirt, and a tie, right? Like, you had a whole process for that, to where now boys do interviews over the, like, Zoom, and they're in t-shirts and stuff like that sometimes. Yeah. So if you think about how we had to submit just to get noticed for work, now it's like, well, I just post my work on LinkedIn, or I post my work on some popular site where people get noticed and they comment and like and stuff like that. So it's so much, I wouldn't say easier, but your access is way better now. Like, you have so many options to be like, I'm gonna just try here. And as opposed to where maybe no one saw our submissions when we submitted work in back in the day, at least 20 people are gonna see this, right? It's gonna be posted. Mail. People are gonna at least see it on the reel or something and be like, oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to the creative business mindset, most of us start off, it is a fun hobby or something, you know, that we enjoy doing, and then we try to take it to a business. But we're still trying to have fun with it. And it's like, yes, you can have fun, but when you start thinking like a business person, you have to transition the mindset completely. You can't just be like, oh, I just want to have fun. It's like, no one cares that you want to have fun. Because whatever you're selling, it's way more important to them than it is to you. It doesn't matter what you're designing or creating. Like, it's going to always matter more. Like, if you're doing like a logo or something, like, that logo is huge for whoever you're selling, designing that logo for, versus you just making it. You're like, oh, this is dope. This is dope. Hey, how you like this? They come back with critiques, right? You could have put your whole heart and soul into like, this is it, just for them to be like, nah, this ain't it. So it's just knowing the ins and outs of, one, marketing, two, the process. Like, man, did you know back in the day when you were designing things, you had to have a portfolio?
Yeah.
People were like, let me see your portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just things like that. Yeah. Like, because they're a business, they have their procedures for, you know, accepting requests and paying out for something.
Yeah.
Versus you just trying to get somebody to look at it.
Yeah, that's a good point with the portfolio thing that just made me think of something. Was, I wish I had a little more guidance back then too, to know what to put in a portfolio.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be tailored specifically towards what those companies are looking for. And that goes with anything. You know, you have to tailor your skills towards what's actually marketable and what's in demand.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point to bring up for sure. I just thought about that because I used to just draw what I wanted.
Yep.
And it wasn't anything, like, for instance, when I started applying to, was it Art Station back then, where a lot of gaming companies would go and you could submit concept art and stuff like that. Like, I just hadn't built any skills in that realm. And then I get to looking at other people's stuff and I'm like, yeah, my stuff is trash.
Oh yeah, you get humble real fast. You know what I'm saying?
But I didn't know like what direction to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like knowing what you're tailoring. So you almost have to reverse engineer it, like you said, instead of going into it with fun first and then business. Think about how can I make this into a business first, and if I hate to say that, but if it ends up being fun after that,
it's true, because when we're all creating something, we always think it's dope.
Mm-hmm.
That's our mindset. Yeah. And your friends might be like, yo, that's dope too. They don't know nothing either.
Yeah.
Because when you break out of that small sample group,
very true,
and you start seeing everything, somebody going to be like, no, that ain't,
it's
good
trash, yeah.
And then now your psyche starts getting messed up, right?
Yeah.
Am I even good enough? It's like, no. Hold on.
Yeah.
You just need to understand what people are looking for. Maybe you didn't work on those skills either. Like, you got to understand what people are looking for, how they like it presented too.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if you think about it, we would just draw on blank white paper, right? And we probably feel like just the middle of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
When they're like, I need to see more detail. I need this bigger. Like, you need to scale this better, right? Just little things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that goes with any business too, not just art. Like, really evaluate, you got to evaluate yourself in the marketplace to see if you, how good you actually are in comparison. Yeah. I think that's a really good point, because that can go with sales, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in sales. I'm starting to realize there's a whole new world of sales that's totally different than what I do. I do a lot of in-person stuff, doing add-on sales. And sometimes I might talk, if I'm, we're selling to a commercial job or something like that, I might talk to some decision makers, but it's nowhere near selling like an entire software platform.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's worth tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars. The process is different. The sales process is much longer. Mm-hmm. It might take you 3 to 6 months to close that deal, whereas I'm face-to-face, I'm closing it right there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more nuance to it, and I'm starting to realize I've got a lot more skills to gain.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That goes with a lot of other stuff in business and stuff like that. You have to always be looking to educate yourself, increase your skills, stuff like that. That goes into what you were talking about before about, it was on a previous episode, just about like stuff like Coursera or Udemy, just upping your skills any way that you can if you don't have the means to go to a traditional university or something
like
that.
And art's tricky.
Yeah.
Like art's tricky. Art. There's not a lot of courses sometimes that are affordable that you can like tap into.
Yeah.
But there's always a convention or some kind of conference or something like that. Like maybe they're just, that's the thing. Like even though art's tricky, the technology is always growing.
Yeah. Mm.
So like however you get informed, you just got to take advantage of that
Absolutely.
Media outlet or whatever.
Yeah. I know you touched on something earlier about having a portfolio and kind of tailoring your portfolio for what you're applying for. And that could be applied across the industry. If, you know what I mean? Like if you're applying for a job in tech or retail management, event planning, whatever, you're looking at that job, you want to make sure you tailor your resume towards the roles and responsibilities of that job.
Transferable skills.
And transferable skills. Now, a lot of people are like, what if I don't have that experience? Don't sell yourself short. Right. So kind of just, you can still kind of tailor it. You look for that particular job for a reason because you've done something like that in the past or during your career. So tailor your resume towards what you're applying for. Right. Use that previous experience or your current experience. Shoot, use ChatGPT. Try to help you put something together that can kind of tailor it towards what you're going for. Right. Because I know you just made the comment about in sales that you realize you have a lot of skills to gain. Well, there are a lot of companies out there that will take the knowledge that you've gained in your previous roles and they're actually looking to build you up.
Right.
Yeah.
There are companies out there that want to bring somebody with an external pair of eyes, different perspective of how you look at things, bring the experience that you gained from this other company, be like, man, he'd be a good asset to the team because he's looking at it from a different lens. We can teach him this part, but he can bring this to the table, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just when you're applying for jobs or trying to just create your own thing, just try to tailor your portfolio or tailor your experience towards what you're going for. So.
Yeah, to add to that even further, there's been plenty of times when I work with, like, a client in, like, a specific industry, like, say, a gym. And like, hey, can I see your work? And I'm thinking because I've shot, like, 4K cinematic footage, you know, just over the past few years, you know, the work will kind of speak for itself, like race car drivers, dentists, or, you know, what have you. I'm thinking, yeah, hey, but they always come back like, hey, well, do you have anything for the gym?
Yeah.
And it's such a like disconnect. I'm like, what do you mean? I just showed you all this amazing work.
Yeah.
Clearly I can do that for you, but it just doesn't connect that way.
It's almost because like people aren't that creative, so they need to see it in their realm for it to make sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, when you're looking at a home, I don't know how I'm making this connection, but for instance, when you're looking at a home and you go in, some people can see a vision, like say it's a fixer upper.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can go in and be like, this looks like crap.
Yeah.
I'm creative. I go in like, I can tear this wall down. I can do this. I can do all that.
I can't look. Exactly. I can't do that.
You see what I'm saying? So,
how it looks is how it's in my head. Like, I don't see it.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like that's the same thing.
That's why experience comes into play.
Yeah.
Because when you're experienced and you've done something over and over and over and over again in different situations and scenarios, you have that vision.
Yeah.
Like, I can do my job with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be a different situation. It's going to have different stressors and challenges. I can get through it, no problem. It's just the level of experience. And that's the biggest thing, too, when you're creative and trying to have your own business. It's like, get the experience. The more times you do it, It's going to be different every time. Every time. But you have to keep building on that experience level so that way when you go talk to people, they're going to come to you with a different situation. You'll be like, yeah, that's fine. Blah, 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 blah. And you just start mapping it out. And as you're mapping it out, you're asking these questions, right? Well, have you tried this? Do you want this? Right? You're getting what they want. So that way you can complete the project, right? And then when you're done this with the discussion, you have the roadmap.
Yeah.
Right? That comes with experience. And that's just hard because you can't start out the gate like that. Right? Right? That's why having a mentor or something like that is very critical just for anything in life when you're trying to have a career doing something, because that person can kind of shape you and give you a little insight that you got to go do the hard work and fall on your face.
Yeah.
But at least you don't have to start off not knowing anything. Like you talked about that one project you had where I think the light, you didn't come with lighting.
Oh man.
the theater project, man.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right. So like if you're thinking about that, like the mentor, but you had to do that though. So like I'm not saying that to defer people from going in and just trying, but you had to go through that and get experience. So the next time you're like, all right, I gotta come with this. I know I have to have this next time. Or at least assess to know if I do need the lighting or whatever for the next time.
I feel like a common theme that I'm getting from this too, something that came to mind from what you said just a minute ago, was when you do complete a project for somebody, it has to be tailored towards what they want.
Mm-hmm.
That goes a little bit deeper too into like reverse engineering the process. At least from a perspective of an artist, for instance, we tend to try to, I'm going to draw what I like and then see what people mm-hmm. how they respond. Reverse that, do some market research to see what people actually like,
mm-hmm.
and then do that.
Yeah.
If you're looking at it from a business perspective,
right.
You see what I'm saying? I think that's how it should be in anything. What does the audience want? Cause you can't just put a bunch of junk out there that people don't want. Cause you like it.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want to do, but it's not going to get as good of a response if you're posting to social platforms and stuff like that, as to if it's specifically tailored towards, your target audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I also say like, take a commission that doesn't pay out.
Yeah.
When you're starting out.
Oh, for sure.
Because then you, like, one, at least gets you, people understand the beauty of at least just getting in the door.
Mm-hmm.
You do something for free, they're like, oh, okay. Now you have
photos, documents, data.
You can say, mm-hmm. oh, I did a project too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then you go through the whole process of how to get through it, yep. right? You learn what they want, stuff like that. Yep. Like, I kept telling people when it came to IT, go work for the church for free.
Yeah.
Go work for the school for free or something,
yep.
right? People be like, "Nah, I'm trying to get paid." Right? You tell me how long it's gonna take for you to get paid,
yeah.
because it's hard.
Yeah.
Some people get lucky. I got lucky, right? But it's not that simple when you come with no experience. So it's easier to just be like, especially creative.
Yeah,
you broke anyway.
Yeah,
just go do it for free. Build that, and then. You don't have to every job be for free, but you learn, like, okay, you used to tell me sometimes you would do something for free because it was just like, I've never done that kind of work before. Yeah. And you wanted to get that experience. Get the experience and you can go, okay, yeah, I've done this before, so.
Then you can show it. And then you get the network on top of that. And mm-hmm. if you do a good job, and you got a referral. Like,
yeah.
there's different types of currency outside of money.
Yeah. Yep.
So if you're thinking that kind of mindset, you could be rich in a different way.
Go into it.
It's crazy how that applies to every industry, though, because even in what I do with, like, if I'm doing, like, a repair, like, screen recoat on wood floors.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say lucky enough. My company paid for a trip for us to go get educated out in Texas to learn how to do the process. Well, now I have pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can bring it back to my hometown. And I can show people, hey, I know how to do this thing, and I didn't actually do it. The instructor did, and I'm just taking pictures of it as it's turning out. You know what I'm saying? So that works in every industry, though. Like you said, in creative, getting your hands on something that, at least you were a part of,
yeah.
now you can show people and stuff like that.
Now, question for all of that,
yeah.
when do you know, like, trying to just gain that experience just to gain it, so that'll kind of give you a leg up when you are trying to put your skills out there and trying to get this job or whatnot, but what is the time frame of when do you know you've gained enough experience where you feel confident enough that you're ready to put yourself out there?
Because you're confident, right? If you don't have to think about too many of the elements, that's probably when mastery. It's time to start going into it and be like, okay, it's time to monetize this.
Mastery creates confidence.
Right. When exactly, like, when you can do 75%, I would even say 60% of the job without thinking about it, you're probably there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The fundamentals, the basics, the setup, all that, people don't realize in any job is pretty much what most people want. Yeah. The other 40% is the challenge, is because it's new every time. So that's why I'm like, yo, if you know the fundamentals, that's always going, like, bro, I'm about to go nerd here and then I'm going to stop. You ever watch like video games, like professional fighters for video games, right? Like Street Fighter, stuff like that.
Okay.
They're not going crazy with all those combos. Most of the time they're working on the jabs, the spacing, right? The bread and butters, because they know if they get you to lure, like they lure you in with the jab, then they can go into a combo. It's the fundamentals. They're not starting out doing all the special moves and stuff like that. They're doing the fundamentals, spacing. Yeah. It's the same thing when you think of a job. You just need to know the bread and butter, the fundamentals, and then you can do everything else, right? But I wanted you to tap in, because I know we're a long time. I wanted you to tap into about money is not the only currency when it comes to like just trying to get out there and develop and stuff like that, because I think that's what people want to hear the most. How much you pay?
Yeah, they do. Kind of going back to doing work for free and building that network. Whoever that network is within that industry, you kind of get to learn that industry's pain points, you know?
Yeah.
And you can take that information and use it on your next sale, whatever creative endeavor that is, because you know somebody that's actually going through it, you know what they need, and you get to speak their language.
Mm.
Yeah, you never would have got that opportunity if you wouldn't have done that for free or built that connect, you know. And they might refer you to another industry. It just kind of depends on where you want to land at. So, yeah, that's what I got for you.
No, that makes sense. I just wanted us to like go into it because it clicked in my head when you said it. I was like, yeah. Sometimes I forget about that.
Mm.
Like, get so busy chasing the dollar signs and stuff like that, you forget like what's actually important, and that's just making sure you can secure the next job.
Even with in video production, like another video director, photographer or whatever, I don't see him as like an enemy or like you know, a challenge. We can't do every job, you know, and if I've done work for him or we have a good relationship and he can't do something, 9 times out of 10 he's gonna throw me that job versus like putting it out into the, you know, the atmosphere. So it kind of goes back into networking and building your community as well.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the money thing, bringing it back to scripture again, going back to Hebrews, because it's top of mind. It's the same chapter 13, where, you know, Paul states that we shouldn't put a lot of, make sure not to put all of our love into money.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Money, the money will come. God will take care of you. It's all about gaining that experience. What do you want to, what value can you bring to somebody? What do you want your brand to be? You know what I'm saying? Focus on that. Don't focus so much on the money. The money will come eventually. But if you take the money part out of it and you really want to, like, just show your the value you can bring, you want to gain more experience. And if somebody sees that and you put 110% effort into that, that money's going to come.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just don't put so much effort in the, I want to do this because I want to make this much money.
Yeah.
Well, it's understandable.
I mean, it's understandable. It's natural, right? It's the human thing to think about. It's like, man, I want to make money. I know this industry can give me this amount of dollars. But like, Mike, I think you touched on it. You're not going to start off making that much money.
No, it's almost like when you think about it like that too, it's understanding what money is. If you increase your value and how much value you can give to another person, the direct exchange is going to eventually be money, because money is pretty much imaginary, and it's representation that you have delivered value to someone.
Yeah.
So understanding, and I'm stealing this quote from Myron Golden, is understanding that all work works. It's either working on you or it's working for you. So increase your value, your knowledge, your skills, and understand that it's almost impossible for the money to not come your way.
Right, it's going
to
come.
You know what I'm saying?
It's going
to
come.
So you almost got to, again, reverse engineer and stop thinking so much about it.
Yeah.
Kind of like patient. What we talk about with women is you stop paying attention to them. And you know what I'm saying? So But you know, you got single dudes. They're like, I can't find a girl. And it's like, well, stop thinking about it. And I swear to God, it will come.
They don't, yeah. It'll come.
Yeah, facts.
Yep. You think it too much.
You think it too much. Don't worry. don't think about it. Focus on building your career, increasing your value and stuff like that. And then that part will come. It's the same with learning skills and, you know, entering into a new industry, or like say you're fresh out of high school and you don't know what you're doing. I just want to make a lot of money. Well, increase your value and your skills first, and then you will.
And then it'll come.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's always been my mantra. I've never really focused so much on the money. It's always been about, like, for instance, when I got in, I think I spoke on this in one of the first couple episodes, but I started off in tech support and I made a decision like, okay, I got to get experience with, I want to get into the infrastructure side of things. In order for me to do that, I got to take this risk and put myself out there where I'll be customer facing, get more involved with building servers, installing servers. I want to gain that experience so I can be competitive enough for those infrastructure related jobs.
Because you couldn't get them without that anyway.
Right, exactly. So I did that. So I took a risk. You know, I took that job where I was an installer going around the country. Like I mentioned this in the early episode, but my point in that is I wasn't so focused on the money at that time. I was focused on gaining experience.
Yeah.
Because I knew eventually the money would come, but I was more focused on building myself, building my brand, and make sure I can be competitive in the workforce moving forward. In order to do that, I had to gain experience.
How do you stay motivated during slow seasons or creative slumps?
Boy.
Hmm. That's all y'all. I mean, the creatives.
That ties in a lot to writing. I tell stories through comics and books. Writer's block is a real thing.
Especially with music.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, anything with that. It's I would say lately it's been ChatGPT. It's been, I'll share what I've got in bullet points or something like that. It's like, I don't know where to go from here. And then just, I'm like, give me ideas. And it's like, I start building based off of that. Cause I feel like it's such a helpful tool. Cause if you got it, as an artist, when you run into writer's block, using different tools like obviously AI, ChatGPT, mm-hmm. even when it comes to drawing stuff, sometimes I don't have ideas for like a design for a character or something like that. There's AI for that too. And you can just get a bunch of ideas and then make it your own. It's like, okay, it can help you with the creative process a little bit. And I feel like it can be, I mean, even with YouTube, like coming up with topics, stuff like that, ChatGPT is a helpful tool to help you at least come up with the ideas. As far as motivation, I feel like at some point you got to learn how to step into a realm to not rely on motivation and just understand how to just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that's interesting when you say that. Expand on that a little bit.
It's, for instance, when it could, like, okay, a good example is working out. Back when I used to be real heavy in the gym, I used to have to get motivation to want to work out. I'd watch YouTube videos, I'd do this, blah, blah. And then it became a thing of just, I didn't need the motivation anymore. I just had a routine. Gotcha.
Yeah, I think, so for me, what get me over the hump was focusing. Like, I just go back to being a little kid. Yeah. I would just be like, okay, well, for music, right? Who did I love listening to? I go play When They Records or something like that. Yep. And that usually would be like, oh yeah. Especially the beat or something like mm-hmm. that. Instant, go back to whatever I was working on and just drill out the whole thing.
Yep.
With art, so a lot of people, if you're not an artist, like drawer or something like that, you don't realize how many pages of art like we would go through in a day, right? Because that's all you're doing is just drawing.
Thank God for digital art now.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if you ever go to an art school, they actually make you, like, it's work. Like, you're drawing repetitive things like beans and shapes for like hours, right? That's just the practice, the warm up to like get that muscle memory built in. Mm-hmm. So then when you're trying to like work on like actual concepts and stuff like that, that's hard. But that's why a lot of people reference something. They might go on the internet and just start looking at pictures related to something, or they're just trying to get a reference of like shapes and things like that. So a lot of times you just need to go look at something else similar to what you're already doing to spark the idea. Yep. Yeah. And that creates that rhythm of you don't have slumps, because the moment where you're stuck, you go, let me go reference that. Yeah.
It's kind of my favorite part. Like when I get a project, especially if it's something that I'm not familiar with, because mm-hmm. I have like a childlike curiosity still.
Yeah.
Hyper curious. I'll ask you a million questions, like, especially if I'm interested in it. It allows me to dive into that world by different, you know, media forms, whether it be like a movie, documentary, a book or something like that. And because I'm so hyper curious about, you know, wonder what I'm going to come up with, it kind of gives me motivation to kind of go into those different worlds and just kind of figure out what accumulates.
Yeah.
So it's all of it's the art for me.
I think also too, when it's art, do we even wow or impress ourselves, to be honest?
Like when our own art?
Yeah. A lot of times you're more wowed by seeing somebody else's stuff than you see your own stuff.
At this point, I'm kind of in a slump and I feel like I'm trash.
What? What you mean? People don't.
Good point, though.
Is it to where you see your own art all the time and you're constantly drawing this and that? You're so used to your own style that you think that you're stuck in you're at a point to where, like, you're not expanding your art style or something?
It's almost
like,
not, because I wouldn't say it's a comparison to other people's stuff, because I've kind of been over that for a while. I'm now comparing myself to my old work, to where my detail's better. And it's hard to explain. Maybe
it.
I might get it. My detail's better, but my creativity's gone.
Yeah, the inspiration ain't there. Yeah, like you're not seeing. Like, I get it. That's what I'm saying. Like, growing up, we were always impressed by something. Like, what got us drawing or write? It was something else anyway. Like, we might be happy with our work, but we don't go, oh, my God, that was so amazing. We don't do that.
Yeah, it's weird.
Somebody probably does, but I just don't know a lot of people that were just, they create something and they're just blown away by their own art. Like,
It's interesting.
Usually they see somebody else's work and they go, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. It sometimes can demotivate a little bit. And I've gotten such a routine, I just keep going anyway, but it's like, man, this is not like, okay, nothing looks like I want it to, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing ever looks. And I mean, you probably feel that in fitness too. It's like you look in the mirror and it's like, I'm not where I want to be. But it's like, nothing looks. I feel like my creativity back then with the storytelling, the action, the everything was just so, I'm like, dang, I'm getting so, you. It's like, it's almost like your mind matures and you just, I need to get back into a child. Like
yeah,
you gotta be a child.
Yeah, you have to keep the kid alive.
You know?
Yeah, and I think with that, what got you in the drawing and stuff like that was watching a lot of the anime and stuff like that. Maybe just,
I haven't been watching a lot.
Tap back in. Yeah. It's time to tap back in, just start watching different animes and probably get that spark going again. Yeah. And then maybe that'll help out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, with music, man, Griselda. When I discovered them, I was like, I want to write again.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that was just like, yo,
Benny the Butch, Conway the Machine, 38 Special.
West Side? Man, like, I was just like, yo, rap. And then now the Clips album is out, and I'm wanting to write again. I said,
you said, I'm going to do something. Yeah.
Bro, it's just when, like I said, it's hard when, like, you want to be impressed by your own stuff. Yeah. But the moment somebody else do something and they just got you going over and over and over again, that's when it's like, I promise you'll be creative.
Yeah.
You'll be like, I can't control it. I got to go do something.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. Cannon Capital Podcast. Been your host for the day. Alexis.
Chris.
Christian.
Like,
didn't know we was re-announcing.
Yeah.
It's been a long day.
Yeah.
We'll catch you in the next episode.
Yep. Peace out.
See you, everyone. Peace.